Hello and welcome to another episode on Niche to Nations podcast on YouTube and on all podcasting platforms. My name is Angelica Stanley, and as a servant of the Lord, I am honored to bring forth today a word of the Lord that I have been sitting on for a few days. I believe that it is to really bring some clarity, but to address some things that the Lord is rooting out and pulling down in the name of Jesus. Also, very strong things that the Lord has been preparing us for, the destruction and the throwdown of altars and the things that are not of Him in Jesus' name. Because the building and the planting that the Lord is doing in the Spirit is about to manifest in the name of Jesus. Amen. We are going to have a large harvest coming up this summer. So let's be mindful and encouraged, yet equipped and empowered by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. So as we go forth into this, I want to encourage you that I will be reading from the Word of the Lord. And as I'm reading the Word of the Lord, I will speak as I am unctioned to. Amen. And so our focus scriptures are going to be in Jeremiah 1, Amos 1, and Ecclesiastes 3. And as I begin to read them, I will give you the specific scriptures that He has given me, but I am giving you the chapters of Jeremiah 1, Amos 1, and Ecclesiastes 3, so that you can read the entire chapter, the chapters for clarity and further context and seeking the Lord in your prayer and time with Him. Amen. Let's get started. Amen. Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, I thank you for this day. I thank you that you are the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the author and the finisher, Lord God. Lord God, I thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross, be risen on the third day, Lord God, so that He can be the true living testimony of the author and finisher of our faith, Lord God. Lord God, today as I go forth, Lord God, I ask that I decrease, I choose to decrease so that you may increase, Lord God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I believe that this word is for such a time as this, Lord God, and in obedience and an assignment that you have given me, Lord God, I plead the blood of Jesus, Lord God, that this fall on to good ground, Lord God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I decree and declare a fiery hedge of protection like Zechariah over the hearts and the minds of the believers who listen and tune in, whether they are new in believing in Christ or they are not in Christ, in choosing to come forth in Christ, Lord God, in choosing in repentance, Lord God, to turn their life in Jesus' name. Father God, in the name of Jesus, as we go forth, Lord God, we thank you for your grace, your love, and your mercy. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 So as we begin to dive deep into this, I want to encourage you, let's go to Jeremiah 1 verses 9 through 18. And I believe this is a specific word for leaders. My prayer is for the arising Jeremiahs of this time. Amen. The arising of the Jeremiahs of this time. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And I will be reading Jeremiah 1, specifically verses 9 through 18, as instructed by the Lord. And it says, "Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Verse 10, See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Verse 11, Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see a branch of an almond tree. Verse 12, Then the Lord said to me, You have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. The Lord is highlighting for me, perform my word in verse 12. He wants you to pay attention to that specifically in this word, perform, that the Lord is saying in verse 12. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. Verse 13, and the word of the Lord came to me the second time, saying, what do you see? And I said, I see a boiling pot, and it is facing away from the north. Verse 14, then the Lord said to me, out of the north, calamity shall break forth on all the inhabitants of the land. Verse 15, for behold, I am calling all the families of the kingdoms of the north, says the Lord. They shall come, and each one set his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, against all its walls all around, and against all the cities of Judah. Verse 16, I will utter my judgments against them concerning all their wickedness, because they have forsaken me, burned incense to other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. Verse 17, therefore prepare yourself and arise, and speak to them all that I command you. Do not be dismayed before their faces, lest I dismay you before them. Verse 18, for behold, I have made you this day a fortified city and an iron pillar and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against its princes, against its priests, and against the people of the land. Amos 1. I will be reading the entire chapter. The words of Amos, who was among the sheep breeders of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. Verse 2, and he said, the Lord roars from Zion and utters his voice from Jerusalem. The pastures of the shepherds mourn at the top of Carmel withers. And the top of Carmel withers. Verse 3, thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Damascus, and for four I will not turn away its punishment, because they have threshed Gilead with implements of iron. Verse 4, but I will send a fire into the house of Hazael, which shall devour the places of Ben-Hadad. Verse 5, I will also break the gate bar of Damascus, and cut off the inhabitant from the valley of Aven. And the one who holds the scepter from Beth Eden, the people of Syria shall go captive to Kir, says the Lord. Verse 6, thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Gaza, and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they took captive the whole captivity to deliver them up to Edom. Verse 7, but I will send a fire upon the wall of Gaza, which shall devour its palaces. Verse 8, I will cut off the inhabitant from Ashdod, and the one who holds the scepter from Ashkelon. I will turn my hand against Ekron, and the remnant of the Philistines shall perish, says the Lord God. Verse 9, thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Tyre, and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they delivered up the whole captivity to Edom, and did not remember the covenant of brotherhood. Verse 10, But I will send a fire upon the wall of Tyre, which shall devour its palaces. Verse 11, thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Edom, and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because he pursued his brother with the sword, and cast off all pity. His anger tore perpetually, and he kept his wrath forever. Verse 12, but I will send a fire upon Timon, which shall devour the palaces of Bora, Bozrah. Verse 13, thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of the people of Ammon, and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they ripped open the woman with child in Gilead, that they might enlarge their territory. Verse 14, but I will kindle a fire in the wall of Rabbah, and it shall devour its palaces. Amid shouting in the day of battle, and a tempest in the day of the whirlwind. Verse 15, their king shall go into captivity, he and his princes together, says the Lord. Upon reading this, thank you, Holy Spirit, on June 4th of 2023, when this was given to me, there were some highlights that he has asked me to speak on, which is in verse 1, Amos verse 1, where it says, 2 years before the earthquake. Verse 14, where it says, amid shouting in the day of battle, and a tempest in the day of the whirlwind. So the Lord is highlighting earthquake and whirlwind, battles in the day and a whirlwind. Verse 15, when reading, their king shall go into captivity, he and his princes together, says the Lord. He's told me about a stay in place or a shelter in place. Again, a stay in place or a shelter in place. And I've underlined the word stay in place, but he had me circle a shelter in place. And the Lord has reminded me of Psalm 91, that those who rest and dwell in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, that he is our shelter. He is our strong tower. We are to stay in the secret place in the name of Jesus. My next reading will be in Ecclesiastes 3. Now, in reading this, I will say that there is a part additionally that I will be speaking to, and it will be highlighting the reason why and the things that we are to pray and intercede for in the name of Jesus. Ecclesiastes 3, I'm going to be reading from verse 2 through 11. It says, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away. Verse 7, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. Verse 8, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Verse 9, what profit has the worker from that in which he labors? Verse 10, I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. Verse 11, he has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I pray that the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Whoo, that comes in pretty strong. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So I will say that in reading this, the Lord took me to Ecclesiastes 2. And I started with in verse 3. And it says, I searched in my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine while guiding my heart with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under heaven all the days of their lives. So this is Solomon speaking. And I believe this is, in this moment right now, the Lord, Holy Spirit, is speaking forth and saying that the warnings that came from Ecclesiastes 2 is what we are going to be addressing, that the showdown in the marketplace is going to be the prophets of Jesus versus prophet for the Son. Again, it's the prophets of Jesus versus the prophet for the Son. So it's prophet for the Son, the S-U-N, the Sun God. So that false, the pagan religions basically worship. And so I want to continue with Ecclesiastes 2 verse 4, where it says, I made my works great. I built myself houses and planted myself vineyards. Verse 5, I made myself gardens and orchards, and I planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made myself water pools from which to water the growing trees of the grove. I acquired male and female servants and had servants born in my house. Yes, I had greater possessions of herds and flocks than all who were in Jerusalem before me. Verse 8, I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the special treasures of the king. And the special treasures of kings and of the provinces. I acquired male and female singers, the delights of the Son of Man, and musical instruments of all kinds. Verse 9. So I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. Verse 10, whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my reward from all my labor. Verse 11, then I looked on all the works that my hands had done, and on the labor in which I had toiled. And indeed, all was vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun. Again, verse 11. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had done, and on the labor in which I had toiled, and indeed all was vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun. So when we look at Ecclesiastes 2 verse 11, on June 6th of 2023, today's date, we have read Jeremiah 1 verses 9 through 18, the entire chapter of Amos 1, Ecclesiastes 3 verses 2 through 11, and we have read Ecclesiastes 2 verses 3 through 11. Okay, and the word is that we will have the prophets of Jesus, the Son of the only eternal God, versus the false prophets for the Son God. As it is seen and relevant in today's time, we can see that we are having a showdown and it is not apparent. There are many prophets out that are of God that are speaking that this is what is happening. But I believe that the Lord is bringing the same showdown that is happening in the churches and in, you know, is this the word of God versus is this a false prophet that is being addressed right now in the body of Christ, as we can see. But we are going to be seeing this happen in the marketplace. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I am seeing, like, I had just had this vision of Jesus walking into the temple and throwing over everything that where religious leaders and the church have allowed things to be in the church that are not what God has ordained for the church and the body of Christ. Now, I know there is ministry and there is business, and I'm here to tell you that the Lord has called someone like myself into what I heard as businessry. But I'm here to tell you that there is a fine line when you are profiting off of the people and you are not worshiping God, and you are doing it because you actually have false idols in your church. Now, I am speaking directly to leaders who allow sun worship. Now, let me explain this to you. Sun worship is a form of worship that has been ongoing for many years. Now, as I was researching this, I was led to identify a sun god in biblical times. And there are lists of solar deities. And one that we can identify in the Greek is Apollo or Helios, the sun god. Okay. And another is, well, I'm going to go ahead and talk to that, but this was in Aztec times culture, indigenous way back. Okay. So I'm going to read from some research that I've gathered, and I will go ahead and leave the information, the links in the description of this podcast, because this was the journey of how this came together. Okay. It says the Bible has quite a bit to say about sun worship, because ancient cultures commonly worship the sun, the god, because ancient cultures commonly worship the sun, and God had different plans for his people. In pre-scientific pagan understanding, it was the sun that was responsible for bringing about each new day. It also warmed the earth and finally brought about the end of winter, providing the necessary conditions for planting and cultivation. The ancients would not have viewed the sun as an inanimate object, but rather as a deity or as part of a deity. The distinction between the physical and spiritual, or the natural and supernatural, was far less distinct than in modern thinking. As a result, it was common for ancient peoples to worship the sun, or perhaps more accurately, the sun deity. All of the nations surrounding Israel were involved in sun worship. In Egypt, the sun god was called Amun-Ra. In Mesopotamia, Shamash, and in Canaan, Shemesh, one of the Canaanite cities conquered by the Israelites was Beth Shemesh, house of the sun, which may have been a center of sun worship, according to Joshua 19, verse 22, which reads, the boundary also touches Tabor, Sha'azumah, and Beth Shemesh, and its boundary ends at the Jordan, 16 cities with their villages. The Babylonians and Assyrians were also involved in sun worship. Now, I'm going to leave it at that, because
I want to speak specifically what the Lord is unctioning me to speak about, and this is churches allowing yoga worship, and I'm saying it, yoga worship. Churches that have allowed sun worship into current day churches. So a current day sun god, because of the pre-time of the Egyptians, we're looking at, in Japan, they have the sun goddess, Amaterasu, forgive me for not saying these words correctly, who played an important role in ancient mythology and was considered to be the supreme ruler of the world. Okay. Saying all of this, Ra, Isis, Osiris, Baal, Mithras, Hercules, Apollo, and Jupiter are all heathen gods of the sun. Even in the Bible, sun worship is mentioned. I'm speaking this because the Lord has highlighted, like I said, yoga and sun worship. Yoga and sun worship. Okay, yoga in itself, from what I know, and mind you, I'm not coming to you telling you this because I don't know. Okay, I practiced yoga back in the day because I didn't know better. Okay. I will tell you that the moment that I was doing something and yoga, they had us lay on a mat. It was dark. Everything was glowing. And I was laying down and I was literally just calling on Jesus's name because it was really creepy. And when I looked up, I saw this woman there who was like glowing, and it was completely like demonic. Like I didn't know what that was because my walk with God wasn't where it was today. And it completely creeped me out. So I'm saying that because yoga itself is said to be a gift of the sun to human beings, from whose power our inner consciousness and intelligence arises. So a lot of individuals have been walking in false power and false consciousness and intelligence, and saying, I've been enlightened, or I've been, and they're saying it's God, but really it's them. It's a Kundalini spirit. Okay. And these are coming in, and this has crept into the church. This is in the church. So people often ask, does yoga worship the sun? Because I had this question, and in my research, I found yoga's sun salutation helps us recognize it, but it is part of the whole of yoga. Okay? So it says here, we should, and this is according to their standards, right? And according to this, you know, satanic ritual, basically, we should honor the sun each day, not only as it rises at dawn, but its presence within us reflects the boundless light and life of our true self. So this takes complete dishonor and disrespect from the entity of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man. I find it not a coincidence that the Lord named the brightest star in our galaxy, in the firmament, I will say. Thank you, Holy Spirit. S-U-N. And that deities are made and worship comes from to this. I find it not strange that this sun, God who created it, can send a fire flame to scorch up all of those who do not worship Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man. I find it not strange that in yoga, the sun is called Surya and is considered one of the primary forms of God. Surya is the heart of the world as all other planets revolve around it. It represents willpower, vitality, and courage in your life. I find it not strange that this yoga, this mantra, these different things really try to mimic God. And we have allowed this in the church. I'm speaking directly to leaders. If you are allowing yoga in your church, God is not honoring your ground anymore. I repeat, God is no longer honoring your ground. So what does that mean to the body of Christ and believers who have, you know, had churches that say, oh yeah, come and do Christian yoga? There is no such thing. There is no such thing. Hear the sternness in my voice. If you are drawing power outside or from another source that is not the power of the Holy Spirit, that does not come from God, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit, as Jesus said that I will die on the cross and he will be resurrected, and he says, I must go because I will be sending a comforter. If you are not drawing your power, your willpower, your to be strong and courageous as Joshua was when God told Joshua to be strong and courageous and to keep the word of the Lord, to keep the commandments of Moses, to walk forth. You are not in alignment with the will of God. So let me tell you about my story and how I've had to come out of this. I had to repent. I pray that this brings a correction to the body of Christ, to the leaders. And I'm truly praying for all of us, because we must come out of agreement with these things. I don't care if your pastor has been pastoring you for years and you've seen so many breakthroughs in your life. If they are allowing yoga or sun worship, any form in the church, congratulations, you have identified the false Holy Spirit known as the Kundalini Spirit and how it has access. So is your church really operating in the Holy Spirit, or is it operating in the false Holy Spirit, which is the Kundalini Spirit? It's a Hindu god. And yoga allows, and all of these things are all connected. We must come out of agreement with these things. We must repent. For the kingdom of God is at hand. I know this is sharp. I pray the peace of God. I know it's tight, but we got to get it right in the name of Jesus. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the correction. I thank you for the pulling down of strongholds. I thank you that you are delivering the captives from wolves and sheep's clothing churches, Lord God, that you are calling out the witches and the warlocks in the pulpit, Lord God, whether they know or do not know, Lord God, the worshiping of the sun god, Lord God, that we now renounce all that which we thought to be true, Lord God, and we come to you, Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the only true God, the only begotten Son who died on the cross for our sin and was risen and is risen and seated at the right hand of God. Lord God, as we now in true repentance, we renounce this. We come out of agreement with it in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Lord God, we repent. And we ask that your grace and your mercy be sufficient, Lord God, to open our eyes, to be corrected by the word of God, and to walk truly and solely upon the word of God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, I pray that everyone who hears this, that the only word of God that they receive is from the Bible, the word, and that going forth, because man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the word of God, let there be a resurrection anointing upon people, that when the true word of the Lord is released, that it brings edification, encouragement, but it also brings down, yes, Jordan, and love, but it also brings down
and kindness,
altars,
and kindness,
principalities,
and it brings kindness,
and that it brings kindness. Thank you, boys, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, thank you.
Mama.
Father God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this correction. I thank you that we are walking in the will of the Lord. Father God, I thank you that we are coming into your plans. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for a fiery hedge of protection. Lord God, I pray the shoes of peace, the belt of truth, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, and with the sword of the Spirit, Lord God, I decree and declare the mind of Christ over every single one under the sound of my voice. I decree and declare that they are beloved, they are chosen, they are elect, they are of a royal priesthood, and they are the apple of your eye. Father God, and 1 Peter 2:9, Lord God, when you say that we have been called out of darkness and into the marvelous light, Lord God, let that light so shine, Lord God, so that we can be a beacon of hope to those who are blind, and let the light shine to bring more into the salvation of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I pray this in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the peace of God be with you. In Jesus' name.